Now, Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15, here's what the Bible says. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Father, please bless the preaching of thy word tonight. I trust that we'll never be in a position as a church where that we would need to follow through all the steps in this procedure. But I also pray that if we're ever in a position where they need to be followed, that we would not compromise, but that we would follow through, that we may do things in the way that pleases and honors you, the way in which you have dictated. And I pray, Lord, if a process like this ever has to happen, that it would result in reconciliation and not further division. So please help me tonight. It may be that as I'm preaching, it may be that somebody's listening, maybe a member of this church, maybe a member of some other church, but they're sitting right there in their living room. And they know that they're at odds with somebody who's watching this service. Somebody sitting right there in the living room with them. And I pray that tonight, that before this message ends, that they would go ahead and get things right with each other. We need to walk close to you in this time. We need your power. We need your closeness. We need your blessings. And we cannot afford to let anything hinder our fellowship with you because we're not able to get along with one another. So please, God, speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory. And everybody said, Amen. Now, the sermon tonight is a follow-up of this morning's sermon. I preached this morning on what I call reconciliation sought by the offender. And that is, here's a man, he knows that he has offended somebody. And how does he go about making reconciliation, being reconciled to that person? Specifically, we're applying it to brothers and sisters in a church. But it could have some applications to other circumstances as well. Now, tonight, I'm preaching on the reconciliation sought by the offended. In this case, it's not the one that has offended somebody, but it's the one that has been offended by somebody else. Now, how in the world is reconciliation to be sought? Now, in my text, instructions are given to us very clearly for how a person who has been offended should seek reconciliation with another member of his church who has offended him. And it is very important that we be willing to do this. We follow the Bible way. Amen? An offended person should seek to be reconciled with a lost person who has offended him. But he will not be able to carry out all the instructions that are given here because this is in the context of people within the same church family. And so I think it is wise that if somebody has offended you, or as I preached this morning, if you have offended somebody and you're aware of it, I think it's wise to start trying to be reconciled to the person by going to them face to face. Amen? Not going behind their back, but going to them face to face. And then also, an offended person should seek to be reconciled with a brother or sister in Christ who is perhaps a member of another church other than his. But he will not be able to carry out all of these instructions that are given here because, again, they are dealing with problems between people within the same church. And we understand the Bible teaches us the autonomy of the local church. Every church is self-governing before the Lord. And we have no authority to meddle in another church's business, and they have no authority to meddle in our business. And if you ever catch yourself doing that, meddling in another church's business, then realize that you are stepping outside the bounds of authority that you have if you're not a member of that church. Mind your own business, and we try to mind our own. Amen? So if there's a problem between me and another brother or sister in Christ, and they're a member of another church, I may go to them And I would hope I would have the humility to go to them and say, listen, brother, you know, you've offended me, and I want you to be aware of this. I don't want us to have any hard feelings between us. But if that brother or sister says, well, that's just tough, you know what? That's where I have to stop it. Because I can't bring him before my church, and I'm sure not going to go before his church. Amen. So we understand there's an important principle taught to us here about the authority of a local church over its members and the autonomy of a local church being self-governing. Now, if you're a member of a church that's a part of a denomination, you may say, well, the denomination is the church. Well, that's not true either. That's not true either. And so this is talking about church people. Now, why should the offended seek reconciliation? He's the one that's been done wrong. Why is it that he should not just sit back and say, I'm not going to seek reconciliation, but I'm going to wait until the one that has offended me, especially if it's in his own church, I'm going to wait for him to come and seek reconciliation. Well, there's several reasons why that you ought to seek reconciliation. One of them is because the offender may not know that they have offended you. They may not have any idea. I have on a few occasions that I'm aware of, I know of a few occasions, and some I've been personally involved in, I've known people to get offended, and the person that offended them were not even aware of the thing. And I know in one case in which I was involved in, I found out that somebody had been upset with me for over 2 years because of something that they thought I had done, and I hadn't even done it. But they were sure that I had. So, you know, you may offend somebody and not ever know it. Have you ever had that happen to you? You offended somebody and you didn't even realize? Maybe you said something in jest and they took it serious, something like that. So you need to go to that person. Another reason is this, is because the offended may only think they have reason to be offended. And as I've said, I know one case in my own life where that somebody thought I had done something which I had not done, and they were upset with me for at least 2 years of time. And then one day somebody came to me and said, hey, you know, so-and-so has been upset with you for a couple of years. I said, I had no idea. Seeing them at church week after week after week, speaking to them, I had no idea that they thought I had done something. So it may be that you think somebody's done something to offend you when they really have not. You've just heard it or you've assumed it. You've read too much between the lines. And so you go to the person and tell them, and you can find out maybe they really didn't do what you thought they had done to begin with. And then, finally, another reason why that the offended should go to seek reconciliation with somebody that's offended them is this, is the offender may be the weaker of the two. And I've had people say to me, well, preacher, so-and-so, they have offended me. Why shouldn't it be their responsibility to come to me and apologize? Why should I have to go to them and say, listen, brother, you offended me and you owe me an apology? And I usually say this, well, it depends on which one of you are the strongest in the Lord. It depends on which one of you is the stronger. And sometimes the person that has offended you is weaker in the Lord, perhaps because he's younger in the Lord, or perhaps he's just not as mature in the Lord as you are. And so if you're the stronger brother, then you ought to take the initiative. And I believe that's the way it will be. The stronger brother will usually take the initiative in the thing. So, maybe you're the stronger one in the Lord, and you can go to the person and get it settled. But it is important that you seek reconciliation. Amen? It's so sad that you have people coming to the same church, and they can't get along with each other. They'll harbor hard feelings for years. And I tell you something that's even sadder than that. And that is, people come to the same church for years, and then one day, one of them will be offended by something that somebody says to them, and so forth. And you know what they'll do? They'll just leave the church. Bless God, I'll go somewhere else. Now, you find that verse, chapter and verse in the Bible. Huh? I'll just go somewhere else. I don't find that anywhere. It's a lot easier to just pack up and move than it is to get right with each other. Amen? So, you ought to seek to get right. Now, here's the process. It's not a complicated process, but it's something we need to be familiar with. First of all, you are to go to the person who offended you and inform him privately of his offense. Look at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, so you're the ones who've been offended, If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So you go to him one-on-one, all by himself, and you say, brother, here's where you have offended me. And I believe you owe me an apology. And I'm here to try to get this thing settled out. I don't want there to be any hard feelings. And like I say, you made a sermon that the guy wasn't even aware that he'd offended you. But you need to go to that person one-on-one. Now, if the offense is not serious enough to follow this procedure, it is not serious enough to tell anybody else about either. Let me say that again. If it is not serious enough to follow this procedure, it is not serious enough to tell anyone else about either. It's not. You go around and you tell another people, and you say, well, let me tell you what brother so-and-so did to me, or sister so-and-so did to me, what they said to me, how they offended me. And you say, well, why don't you go to them and talk to them about it? Well, it's not that big a deal. Well, why are you talking to me about it then? Why are you talking to me about it? If it's a big enough deal to talk to somebody else about, it's a big enough deal to talk to them about first. And so if it's not big enough deal to talk to go to them about, then it's not big enough to talk to anybody else about. Now, if this is as far, and I keep emphasizing this is as far as you can follow this process with people outside of your church. Go to them and say that you offended me. And though there's not further recourse that you have to fall back on with somebody that's not a member of your church, whether they're lost or saved, you will find that many times that this will settle it right here. If you just be man enough to go to the person and talk to them face to face. Not every time, but many times it'll settle the disputes there. Now, as I said, the person's offended you. And so you feel like it needs to be addressed with. So what do? You go to that person one-on-one and you say, brother, this is what you have done. You don't tell anybody else about it first, including your pastor. Now, for some reason, people get the idea. They say, you know, I think that I need to go tell the pastor about it every time that I get my feelings hurt a little bit. I need to go talk to tell the pastor about it. And he'll be able to deal with that. No, you're to go to that person first. You are not to go to your pastor first. And I hope I never get caught in that trap again. But I know, especially as a younger preacher, because of inexperience, I got caught in that trap where somebody would come to me and they'd say, well, so-and-so has said this or so-and-so's done this to me. And I would think that as a young preacher that I could solve all problems, and I'd say, well, let me see what I can do about this. And then I'd get myself involved in something that I never should have really have gotten involved in, at least at that point. And I emphasize this to you. If you listen to somebody else talk about how somebody else in the church has done them wrong and they've not gone to that person, if you listen to that, do you realize what you're doing? You're partaking of their sin. You are. And probably all of us are guilty of doing that at some time, are we not? We are partaking of their sin. We're getting involved in it. So first thing is I go to that person one-on-one. If the offense is not serious enough to personally approach the offender, then the offense should just be forgiven and forgotten. It's not that big a deal. Let's do it. Now, here's what you'll find. Here's what you'll find. If you enforce that rule in your life, and if you will, as a church member, if somebody comes to you and they start wanting to tell you how somebody else has offended them, if you will say, have you talked to that person first? And they say, no. We'll say, well, don't talk to me anymore until you go see them about it. You'll find this, that right there will nip so many problems in the bud that takes place between brothers and sisters in Christ in a church. Because if you say, go approach them about it, they say, wait a minute. Is it really that big a deal? Remember, it's a lot easier to talk to somebody else about what somebody's done to you than it is to talk to the person that did something to you. And so right there, if you say, no, this is the rule. This is the scriptural rule. You go to that person first. Now, you go to them. Well, it's really not that big a deal, is it? That'll probably solve I'd say, and I'm just guesstimating, at least 80% of hard feelings in a church. And no, it's just not that big a deal. I'm not willing to go and confront the person with it. Now, if you are willing to risk losing that brother, then you go and you tell other brothers how he has offended you, and they're going to tell somebody else, and they're going to tell somebody else, and eventually it's going to get back to that person who has offended you, and it's going to be blown all out of proportion, and now they're going to become very defensive because now the whole church knows about it, and they're embarrassed about the thing, and it's just going to make it worse, and you're probably going to lose the brother. By going to him, if he responds properly, then the Bible says what? If he shall hear thee, thou hast done what? You've gained your brother. You've not lost the brother. So you go to the brother, he's done you wrong, you don't go to the preacher, you don't go to anybody else, and you go to him, and you say, brother, this is where I believe you've done me wrong. And he may say, well, I'm sorry, I wasn't aware I did that. I was unintentional. Or he may say, you know something, you're right, I got in the flesh and I did it and I'm sorry. I want to make amends. What do we have to do to get this thing settled? But if he does not do that, if he says, you know something, I don't agree with you, I don't think I've done you wrong. Or if he says, I've done you wrong, and I'm not going to get it right, I'm not going to apologize, I'm not going to make restitution, that's just tough. You're just going to have to live with it. Then what do you do in a case like that? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. If the brother refuses to acknowledge that he has offended you, then the Bible says, look at verse 16, you approach him with what? One or two more church members. It says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And so you take one or two others and you go to them. Now, I would give some words of instruction here, some words of warning. When you choose the one or two others, remember you're still not going and telling everybody else. In this case, it might be the pastor. It might be the pastor. It might be the pastor and maybe a deacon, something like that. But whoever the brother is that you choose to go with you, make sure that those two are not biased, especially in your favor. You can always look around and find somebody that will take your side. And you want to do your best to find somebody that is not going to be biased in either way. But if I can't find anybody that's going to be biased either way, I'd prefer them to be biased to the person that I'm going to go and confront than be biased towards me. We want to avoid all the appearance of evil. Now, every good lawyer understands this principle. They realize this, that it doesn't really matter so much what the law says. If you can strike the right jury that is sympathetic with the person, then they can probably get him off. They'll rule in his favor. It's not right, but it is a fact of life. And you can get just that carnal in a church as they are in a courtroom. And so we don't want to do anything like this. So make sure that whoever you choose, there's not somebody that you know, hey, they're going to say I'm right and the person I'm confronting is wrong. A second word of warning is this. Make sure that the other members are spiritual members. You don't want to just choose any and every person. The book of Galatians, in chapter 6, it says this in verse 1, and it applies to this. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I realize that this is a little bit out of context, but it still has application. If you're going to restore somebody, it needs to be the spiritual ones that do it. Amen? And so, I don't want to go over here and say, all right, this brother, I've confronted him, and he will not admit that he's done me wrong, but I still believe that he has. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to find some spiritually strong people, some people that know what the Word of God says, some people that walk close to the Lord, some people that I believe will put the will of God ahead of my will or anybody else's will. I'm going to choose them to go before me. If you get somebody that's immature, somebody that's not spiritually mature enough, then I'll tell you what you can do. You'll get them involved in a row and do more damage than good. So make sure that you choose, those people very carefully. By the way, they should be spiritual enough that they don't go and tell everybody else about it. They should be spiritual enough they don't even go home and tell their wives about it. Amen? They should be that spiritual. So make sure there are people that are spiritual. And then let the judgment of these other members settle it for you. You realize this, when you pursue something like this, and you go to the person originally one-on-one, and he says, I don't see where I've offended you. I don't see that. I don't think I've done you wrong. He should be sorry. I've often said this, I'm sorry you feel that way. Whenever I knew I was doing right, I'm always sorry that somebody feels I've done them wrong. But if you go to the person, he's done you wrong, you still feel like it, and he will not admit that. So I take one or two others with me, spiritual men, and I take them and we confront the guy. You know something? There may be a possibility that those two men that I've chosen to go with me, they may say to me, hey, you know something, Craig Holmes? You're wrong. You really have not been offended. You've really taken something wrong. You've blown this all out of proportion. So it could, in a sense, backfire on me. Now, if that happens, what am I supposed to do? I drop it. I followed the directions of the Lord, and these two spiritual men, they have said that I am wrong, and the other person is in the right, that I am wrong in accusing him. They may even say, you know something, what you need to do, you need to apologize to this brother because you've accused him of something that he's not guilty of. If that happens, then it's dropped right there. And I say, okay, I accept your judgment. I'm not going to pursue it any further. You might not agree with it, but I'm going to accept it because this is the Bible way of doing things. So I go to the fellow, one-on-one. He says, I think you're wrong. I have not offended you. I get one or two other men out of my church, spiritual men, and I go to that man, and they say, hey, you know something, the brother's right. You have done him wrong. You need to get this thing right. You need to apologize to him, and whatever it takes to get right, you need to do it. You need to be willing to do that. And the man still says, nope, I don't care about it. I disagree with you. Or he may say, I know I've done wrong, but I don't care about getting right with this brother. I'm refusing to apologize. No siree. Then what are you supposed to do then? Do you have something further that you can do? And the answer is yes. You look at verse 17. If he shall neglect to hear them, you do what? Tell them to the church. Now that doesn't mean that you get on the telephone or you get on the internet and you start going all through all the church roll and sending out texts and emails. That doesn't mean it. It is a matter of church discipline then. And so it comes before the whole church. And the case is presented before the church. This man says, brother so-and-so has offended him. Brother so-and-so says that he does not believe he has, or he admits that he has, and he refuses to do anything about it. Church, we need you now to intervene. Now this is the last resort. And now, again, this tells us something about how important the church should be to us. Amen? It should be. It should be able to settle disputes between members. So it tells us how important the church is. But we bring it before the church. And the church hears both sides of it. And if the church decision goes against the one that is accused of being the offender, then the offender should say, all right. He may say, I still don't see it. I don't see it. But my church does, and I accept the corporate decision of the church there, and so I'm going to face up to the offense here, and I am going to do what it takes to get right. And if he does that, he apologizes, he says whatever it takes to make restitution, to get this thing right, I'm going to do it. When he does that, from that point on, you know what? It should be all forgotten about. It should never be brought up again. Never be brought up again. We should never get historical. Amen? Never get historical and start bringing up, well, you know what you did in the past. You know about this. You know that. No. If you forgive it, it's in the past. Now, we're not God, so we can't forget it. But we can forgive and we can not bring it up anymore. Amen? And so it's in the past and we don't ever bring it up again. I know I was in church and there was a couple of times whenever we had some church discipline things, and I was not the pastor then, but I won't ever forget the few times we had a church discipline problem. When the discipline was administered, the pastor would usually end the discipline procedure like this. He'd say, "All right." He'd say, "Now this has been brought before the church, and this has been dealt with, and this man's been forgiven. He's apologized." He said, "Now I want you to understand something. If anybody ever brings this up again, you will be subject to church discipline yourself." And he meant that. He was a strong enough leader, he meant that. And you dare not say anything else about it. He dare not do it. If the pastor got wind of it, you were going to be brought up for church discipline yourself. I thought that was a good policy. I think that's right along with the Word of God. But if the offender will not man up and face his offense, then what happens? We'll look at verse 17. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell him to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, the Bible says what? Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Otherwise, he's put out of the church. He's not willing to submit to the authority of the church. Not a denomination now, but his local church. He's not willing to submit to the decision of his local church whom he has put himself under the authority of by being a member of that church. And he says, "Nope, still not going to admit I've done wrong. If I have, I'm not going to do anything about it." The Bible says from that point on, that man is to be counted as a heathen man and a publican. Now, what does that mean? Listen, heathen, you can go to court against heathens and publicans. Amen? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 I mentioned this morning that brothers in Christ in a church, they're not to go to law against one another. And I believe that's in a church, the context of a church. It's in an epistle written to a church because other churches don't have any authority over each other. They don't do that. So now this man, he's counted as somebody that's lost. He's no longer a part of your church family. He's not willing to submit to the authority of God. And so now he's a lost man. And so I may have to take that man to court then, if necessary, in order to get things settled, depending on how bad the offense is. He may have done something that cost a lot of money or something, or ruined my reputation, and therefore I may have to take him to court. Now, we certainly hope that we'll never get that far, that a man would say it somewhere along the line, "Hey, I realize this, if this man and a couple of others in my church, spiritual men, if they say I'm done wrong," hopefully at that point he'd say, "That's it." And if not, hopefully when his whole church said, "Hey, no, you've done wrong," hopefully that would settle the issue right there. Amen? Hopefully that would do it there. Hopefully we wouldn't have to go any further. But if a man's not willing to submit to the decision of his church, then say you just count him as a publican, count him as a heathen. Now, if church members follow these scriptures, I am convinced that a lot of church problems would never take place. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit would be able to move much more freely in the midst of our churches if we dealt with problems like this. Like I said, I was in a church one time, wasn't the pastor, had to bring up some church discipline issues. And every time, the person that was being disciplined ended up saying I was wrong, and he was restored to fellowship with the church. That's the way it should be. That's the goal of it. Amen? That's the goal of it. And the few times in my ministry where I faced similar things, I can't remember a single time when it did not work out that somebody was basically restored to fellowship instead of the fellowship being severed from their church. And that is the whole purpose of it. It's not to be mean. It's to maintain peace within the body of Christ. It's to maintain peace. Now, maybe I'm talking to somebody that's here or somebody that's listening by way of live stream. And you know something? You've been harboring hard feelings for months, maybe years. Somebody in your church has offended you. And you may have gone around talking to other people about it. And you've been keeping dissension stirred up in the church as a result of it. What you need to do, just as soon as possible, you need to go to that person that you believe has offended you and confront them with it. Hear their side of the story. You might be assuming things that aren't true. But you need to do that before you do anything else. And more than likely, that will settle the issue. Though, listen, all of us need to be reminded. If somebody comes to us, wants to tell us what another brother or sister in Christ has done to them or said about them or something, we need to, hey, I'm not going to be a partaker of that sin. In a nice way, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to hear that unless you're coming and asking me to go with you to them the second time around. You go to them first. You go to them first. Now, whenever the Lord just put these things on my heart to preach on today, and I thought, Lord, this is not neat. I don't know of any problems in our church or anything there. And just like the Lord pressed upon my heart, say, you don't know what's going on now that people aren't able to have been coming very regularly. You know, people get locked up in the house with each other, working from home, and they'll start fussing, and you won't ever know about it at church. And so it may be that this is more for people watching by way of live stream than it is for people here. It might be that I'm talking to somebody, that there you are, you're sitting on a couch, on one side of the room, your spouse or your parent or your sibling is sitting on a chair on the other side of the room, and one of you is all puffed up because you think the other one's done you wrong. You know what you ought to do? You ought to right now, you ought to go over to that person and say, brother, you've done me wrong. I want to get this settled. Or you ought to go and say, I've done you wrong, and get that settled. You'll have a much sweeter night of rest tonight if you get those differences settled. Amen? And when you come back to church, you'll enjoy it more. You won't be worried about, oh, I hope the preacher doesn't get on this issue when I come back to church. I mess up my first service back. No, it'll be a whole lot better on you. Amen? And so may God give us the grace to follow these things through. Listen, it's not always the easiest thing, but it is the right thing. It is the right thing. And may God give us the grace to do so. Let's stand.